It's always good to live out the sermon, amen? To live it out, not just to see if I studied enough, or just was he on or was he off today, or, you know, he must not have slept long enough or whatever. The sermon, it's good to live out the sermon. It's good to see it lived out. And I think we have done that here this day. So I thank you for being here, and I hope you have a great weekend. The rain may come, and it sounds like it is right now, but we'll see what happens at firework time. Just hope and pray we can do it. We're going to eat hamburgers and hot dogs and all kinds of good food at 7 o'clock. You be here. And if it's flooding, it's flooding. If it stops, we'll have fireworks, but it'll be okay. Amen? Amen. Just like this little lady was singing. He's got this. God's with us. And he don't let us, he's not going to leave us, no matter what we run into. So praise the Lord. Can America return to God? My answer to that is yes. How far is America from God? Different opinions and different theories. Is God still in control? Is he on his throne? My answer is yes. He is. And he's got it. He's not letting us down. He will. There's consequences for our actions. We know that through history and through the Word of God. But God is on our side. 239 years worth, we've been celebrating. We've been singing these songs and watching things on TV last night of all the patriotic music and the fireworks in some place, maybe New York. And I forgot where the other one was. I was flipping back and forth watching them. It was good. To hear the Stars and Stripes. You like to hear that? I love to hear it. I like that kind of music myself. And just to hear it, to see and know what we're celebrating. And we have been celebrating for 239 years. To live our own lives in freedom. We live in a good country, even though we have problems. Have we got faults? Have we had failures? Yes, but we're still a fine country, and we need to turn to God in a lot of areas. Yes, I know that. Freedom of religion. We have that opportunity. Freedom of religion. We can worship God today. We can pray to God today, right here. And all you folks who have been in our armed forces, thank you for what you do, that we can have these freedoms. Freedom of religion. Worship anybody, anything we want in America without being killed. And some of that's good and some's, well, what have you. Many thousands of Christians a year now, you need to get a hold of this, die for freedom of religion. You understand what I'm saying? Each year, there's thousands of people dying because they say they're a Christian in other countries. I don't face that. You don't face that. Some say we may someday, and we may. I don't know. But right now, I'm not facing that. But around this world that we live in, because the very reason, the only reason they are killed are because they're serving Jesus Christ the Lord. And thousands of people a year die for that. You need to hear that. You need to pray for brothers and sisters around the world that are serving the same God that we are, and they give their life because they serve Jesus Christ. We live in a country that was established for that very right, freedom of religion. And in our own country, there's people that won't give God the time of day. Yet in countries around the world, people are dying because they serve Christ. So what's happened? What's happened through the years that made millions now celebrate freedom from, not of, freedom from religion? What's turned the tide? Instead of freedom of religion, they want freedom from religion. A lot of people's tried. Some have succeeded. To take God out of schools, to take God out of public events, to get rid of God. There is an agenda in our country to do that. You know that. I know that. And it seems sometimes they're gaining ground. The God of the Hindus, they're not after. The God of the Muslims, this sect of people, they're not after the God of the Muslims or the Hindus. The philosophy of reincarnation, that's fine. They're not after that. The New Age movement, they're not after that either. The homosexual agenda, they're not after that. Passing out condoms in school, they're not after that. They're after the removal of Jehovah God and Jesus Christ from our society. Now, you can believe it or you cannot believe it. That's up to you. You do your homework. You read the studies. You investigate it. But I am convinced that there is a group of people that are simply out to remove Christianity from America, period. Now, you can agree or not agree. That's up to you. And the word Christianity, let's erase that and put in a word called spiritualism. Now, what's spiritualism mean? Well, you can look that up too, and I'm not sure which definition you might settle on, but it puts self on the throne. That you live any way you want to, how you want to, and it's fine. Self, it elevates self. Now the Christians and the Word of God says self must die and you serve Jesus. Spiritualism elevates self and puts it on the throne. Now the next slide says Christianity, the founding God for America, is under attack. I really believe that. It's not, again, it's not the Hindu religion, it's not the Muslim gods, it's not reincarnation, it's not any other theory, but Christianity, the true and living God, and Jesus Christ. Christianity, the founding God for America, it's what we're founded on, is under attack. I believe it to be so. In April 1994, Reader's Digest had an article from the former Secretary of Education, William Bennett, and the title was, What Really Ails America? Part of that I'm going to share with you. Here's the first catchy phrase or sentence. And the only reason for hatred of religion is that it forces us to confront matters many would prefer to ignore. I believe that's happening too. The article goes on, to a great extent our society has gotten what it wanted, a society without God, but what good has it done? Bennett goes on to say, last year I compiled an index of leading cultural indicators, a portrait of America's behavior trends for the past three decades. Among the findings, since 1960, while the gross domestic product has nearly tripled, violent crime has increased 560%. Divorces have more than doubled. The percentage of children in single-parent homes has tripled. And by the end of the decade, 40% of all American births and 80% of minority births will occur out of wedlock. These are not good things to get used to. He goes on, the United States leads the industrialized world in murder, rape, and violent crime. At the same time, our elementary school systems or students rank at near or bottom in tests of math and science skills. 1940, teachers identified the top problems in America's schools, talking out of turn, chewing gum, making noise, and running in the halls. In 1990, teachers said the use of drugs, alcohol, suicide, rape, and assault. Those are not good things to get used to either. He uses a term in this article called cultural rot. You know what a rotten tomato is? A rotten whatever, it stinks, doesn't it? Cultural rot is setting in. People are losing their capacity for shock, disgust, and outrage. During the 1992 Los Angeles riots, Mr. Williams was filmed crushing an innocent man's skull with a brick while Henry Watson held the victim down. When Williams was finished, he did a victory dance. Watson and Williams' lawyers then built legal defense on the premise that people cannot be held accountable for getting caught in mob violence. When these men were acquitted on most counts, the sound you heard throughout the land was not outrage, but relief. That's not good things to get used to either. Now, Bennett concludes with these words. Today, we must carry on a new struggle for our country we love. we must push hard against an age that's pushing hard against us. If we have full employment, greater economic growth, if we have cities of gold and alabaster, but our children have not learned to walk in, listen, to walk in goodness, justice, and mercy, then the American experiment has failed. Even if we have all these other things, he says, the growth, the full employment, cities of gold and alabaster, if our kids don't learn to walk in goodness, justice, and mercy, then the American experiment has failed. And he goes on, don't surrender, don't quit, get in the fight, do what's right, that kind of thing. And it's a good article. Now, the scripture of the day, not a new scripture, you've read it, it's the next slide. You've read it, you can quote it. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. You've heard it, you can quote it, we can read it over and over and over. This time of year, services similar to this time of year. You know the scripture. I turned to Bill as he was getting ready to leave, and I said, Bill, it's good to do the sermon, not just hear it. See, you fulfilled this sermon already. You were an altar of prayer. You were in your pews praying. You fulfilled what the scripture tells us to do already. We just reversed it. Isn't that good? We might do that next week. So I wonder what the topic will be. Wonder what y'all have to do. Y'all just look at me now. Huh? What will y'all be doing next week if we reverse it? Not just hearing this word of God, but being doers of the word of God. Not just hearing a good Sunday school lesson and then going on out and living any way I want to. Not just hearing a good sermon, but doing what it says. Not just reading the Bible to say, okay, I read my chapter today, but reading the word of God and applying it in my mind and my heart and my lifestyle that I bring glory to God. Amen? Amen. So we're fulfilling what this says. If my people, he's talking to us, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. That's a good, good scripture for this day. Well, the next slide says, if my people which are called by my name, again, you know that there's no finger pointing when we're talking about returning to God. He's talking to us. Judgment always begins in the house of God. It begins in your home and my home as an individual. I've got to look and see what I'm doing, what my family's doing. Not just talking about President Obama, not just talk about the Supreme Court, not just talk about the topic of the day, but I've got to talk about me. I've got to look in the mirror and look at me. Then I've got to look at my wife and tell her to look in the mirror and see what she says. And then when she says, does this dress make me this way or whatever, I say, honey, you're beautiful all the time. But spiritually, she has to look in the mirror. And as a spiritual leader of the home, men, you're to help her look in the mirror, but you've got to look in the mirror first. Then you lead your family. So it starts with us. Oh, we can sing a song. We can be patriotic. Thank God for the flag. Yes, hallelujah for all that. But I've got to look within my own soul and say, Lord, if there be any wicked way within me, deal with me. Not just the Supreme Court, but after I get through with me, I sure need to pray for them too. Judgment begins with us. The next slide. Will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. It's a good thing to be a proud American. And I am a proud American. It's a good thing to be a proud American. But I want to tell you, we need to be humble enough to bow before Almighty God. Because that's what He expects. I didn't write the Bible. Y'all know that, don't you? I'm far from that. But it is inspired by God Himself. And He says if we'll humble ourselves and pray and seek His face, be a proud American, yes, but don't ever forget to bow before God and pray See, we fulfilled that today. We came and prayed. Prayer is not obsolete. I don't care what theory you're listening to or who you're listening to. Prayer is not obsolete. Prayer is not outdated. Prayer will not take you the wrong way. It'll take you the right way. It's not too late to pray, so pray. The next slide. And turn from their wicked ways. And turn from their wicked ways. Are we good at repenting? Not as good as we used to be as a country. I don't believe. That's my opinion. You got your opinion. Are we good at repenting? Well, sometimes we're good at repenting, but we're not good at turning. This says, and turn from their wicked ways. I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. You corrected your kid when they were small and you were trying to train them, and they'd say, I'm sorry, turn around, do it again. 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 And then one day you get them by the back of the neck and shake them just a little bit and say, wait a minute, I don't believe you're sorry. Because you keep doing the same thing over and over and over again. You just got caught. That's why you're sorry. We got to change something. We got to turn. Repentance means that. We're good at saying I'm sorry, but repenting, we turn. That's what repentance means. We turn from a sinful way. Does our land love evil so much that we won't turn from it? Does America love evil so much that we won't turn from it? I believe we will turn from it. I pray we'll turn from it. Surely America as a whole, don't love evil so much that we won't turn from it. I just believe the best about our land, even though I see, even though I read and hear Supreme Court decisions, and on we could go. Even though, God knows, I do not understand our president, and I'm not getting into politics. If you understand him, fine. I don't. How can you be on the news of any race, any color, any political party, and sing Amazing Grace at a funeral? And talk about heaven and talk about things like that, and then stand up and say, this is a good decision, this brings people together, when you know it goes against the word of the living God. And I'm sorry, it's not because he's black or he's white or he's Republican or Democrat. He could be purple and a new political party. It does not go together. Surely we don't love evil in our land so much that we won't turn. And turn from their wicked ways. It's time we do that. The next slide says, then I will hear from heaven. God's waiting to hear from you. God's waiting to hear from us. God's waiting to hear from us. He longs to hear from us. He longs for us to turn, repent, and come to him. He's waiting with arms stretched out. But one day, it'll be over. Now, how long is that going to be? I don't know. But one day, the grace and the mercy, it will stop. You say, now, are you sure about that, preacher? Yes, I am. When it's over, when Jesus comes again, Jesus is coming back. That was a couple of weeks ago or whenever. When God says to Jesus, go get the church, go get the bride, go get the church, it is over. Boom. It's over. And it's too late then to make things right. If death comes to me today, I hope not. But let's say I go home and we eat lunch and I decide to kick back in the recliner before we come back and poof, heart attack, whatever. I'm gone. I best be right with God then. I better be right with God now so that I can make heaven my home God's waiting to hear from us. And the next slide says, and we'll forgive their sin and heal their land. Forgiveness awaits to all who will turn right now. See, grace is flowing. Right now, mercy's flowing. Right now, God, for whatever reason, I laugh at my dad a lot, especially here lately. I was around him a lot. Some things aren't funny that I laugh at, maybe, but he said, if Jesus don't come back pretty soon, he's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. And I said, Dad, what are you talking about? You know, we had a real deep conversation. You know, he's coming back. Now, right now, you hear my voice. I see you. Grace and mercy is flowing. Jesus is in the forgiving business right here and now. It's available. If we'll ask for it in our land as individuals, healing awaits all who will turn to Him right now because grace and mercy is flowing. But when it's over, it's over. Can America return to God? Yes, is my answer. Yes, if we want to. Now the question I believe is, do we want to? Do we want to turn back to God? If I take a survey right here, I'm not a betting man, but I'd put money on it. That would make me a betting man. Let me rephrase that. This group of people will say, I want to return to God. I want what God says. I believe that. I've got that much confidence in you. I've got to know you a little bit anyway in a few years. I believe you'd say yes. Now, if we go down to New Hope, I doubt it. No, I just had to wake you up now. If we went down to New Hope and took a survey and asked them, do you want America to turn back to God? Again, not a betting man. I just believe the people at New Hope, they'd say yes. I do. If we went over here to the Baptist church down this way, that way, the other way, some Methodist churches, I believe they'd say yes. Now, if you get on broaden your horizons, people say, maybe we go north, maybe we go east or west, we'd run into some that they'd just say plainly, no. But I still believe within me, within my heart, that God is on His throne. Jesus is there at the right hand of the Father. The Holy Spirit's still working today. And America, oh yes, we're not done. We have a chance if we'll get this thing turned around. And how? What can I do? What can I do? I want to see it turned around. What can I do? The only thing I know to tell you is to pray like you've never prayed before. You say, well, I've been praying and look what happened. Keep praying. Keep praying with some earnestness to it now. Some steadfastness. Stick to it. Not just on the 4th of July, but every day, every week, every month. And stand for what's right every day and live the way God wants you to live. Can God do something with us? Yes. Can America return to God? Yes, if we want to. Like the old preacher said years ago, a country preacher said, the problem is the want to needs to change. If I'm in some sin, you're in some sin, if we're in whatever, the problem is the want to needs to change. The want to. God's given us a great blessing in this country. It's worth preserving. It's worth standing up for. It's worth spending some quality time before God in prayer for our land. We've got a lot to be thankful for, and we're not done yet. Now, there is an agenda, I believe, in this country that is trying to tear down Christianity. I believe that to be true, but I'm not done yet. Are you? A great land, a great country. Have we made a mistake or two? Yes. Have we failed some? Yes. But still the greatest country. Still the greatest country. With potential. With the ability to turn around if we want to. it's still there. Well, you know, Christianity and patriotism, they got a lot in common. My country, 'tis of thee. You know who that was written by? A Baptist preacher, Samuel Francis Smith. Pledge of Allegiance to the Flag, 1892, by Baptist minister Francis Bellamy. The words, "In God We Trust," carried on our coins and our monies, traced back to the efforts of Reverend W.R. Watkinson of Pennsylvania. In a letter he addressed to the Honorable S.P. Chase, was dated November the 13th, 1961. 7 days later, Mr. Chase wrote to James, I think it's Pollock, director of the U.S. Mint. He says, "No nation can be strong except in the strength of God, or safe except in His defense. The trust of our people in God should be declared on our national coins. Will you cause a device to be prepared without delay, with a motto expressing in the finest words possible this national recognition? In God We Trust." I believe you still trust in God. I know I still trust in God, and I know that you do too. So, what do we do if my people? We just did what the sermon said. We've already been here and prayed for ourselves, prayed for our country. But you'll be so kind to stand with me now one more time. If there is a need the Spirit of God has brought to your mind, I hope you'll come. Father, thank you again for this day and your love. Thank you for our land. Thank you for our country. Thank you for the freedoms we enjoy. And Father, thank you that this congregation listened and carried out the scripture before we really read it this morning. But oh, it's familiar to us. We know it. But Lord, we want to do it. We just don't want to read it. We just don't want to hear it read. We want to be doers of the word. Thank you for our freedoms. And Lord, I pray that you would help us in our country to truly turn back. Father, we need revival. We need it in our own land. We're praying for our own land. And God, lead us and fill us with the Holy Spirit and show us how and what to do. We know to pray. We know to humble ourselves. We know to seek your face. And we're going to do it. So, Father, thank you for this group of people. Thank you for the land that we live in. Now speak to us, and however you see fit, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.